Kum Len and Lablat Gemara, we are up to Dav Kuf Ches Amen Aleph, and we're up to about the two dots, about 20 lines from the top of the page. The Mishnah said that even a poor person should not eat until they recline. And so, says the Gemara, Itma, we learned. I feel Adash Bissar Lo Yechal HaShayesu, even a poor person should not eat unless they recline. Itma, we learned, Matzah Tzorich Heseba. Matzah requires reclining. Morer ain't tzorich haseba. Morer does not require reclining because morer is reminding us of the shibud. It's therefore because morer is reminding us of the shibud, which means the slavery, so reclining is inappropriate. It doesn't say that if you're reclining, you're not yetzer. It just says that reclining is not necessary. We just started the two dots. Yayin. What about wine? Itmar Mashmeid Rav Nachman. Once we learned the name Rav Nachman, Tzodech Haseba, by wine you have to recline. The Itmar we learned Mashmeid Rav Nachman, also near Rav Nachman, that ain't Tzodech Haseba, you don't have to recline. So, Ali Pligi. It's not an argument, it's not two opinions within Rav Nachman, but Hobbitarti Kosi Kamoi. One of them is talking about the first two cups of wine, and Hobbitarti Gasroi. And the other Kosi was talking about the latter two cups of wine. But we don't know which one is one that you have to recline. Amrilah, those who say Lahai Gisa in one way, but Amrilah Lahai Gisa, others say in another way. It goes as follows. Amrilah Gisa, there's one school of thought that says that what, in this way, that Terei Kosei Kamoi, the first two cups, Boya, Seba, you have to recline. Why? The Hashtahu, the Kamaschal Chedus. Now you're reading the Haggadah and you started at Avodah, you know you're working your way to Chedus, you're going through the experience right now. By the time you finish the Haggadah, you say, they go, I mean, Golonu and so on, so therefore you're talking about the process of Gula, so therefore it's the right thing to do. But Terei Kosei Basroi, but when it comes to the last two cups, nu maida hava hava, it already happened. So what's the point of reclining? So all the Rishonim asked, so why do we recline by matzah? Matzah comes after the second cup, after you finish the Haggadah, and yet you're reclining. So they say that the main suda is the matzah. So therefore matzah is different, much more important than the wine. Also, by the wine, you already reclined. You did something. By matzah, you haven't done anything yet. And further says Tesis, that by matzah, the Torah clearly says they didn't have enough time for the dough to rise until the Abishah redeemed them. So the word gul is actually written by matzah. Now, matzah itself, it has in it two opposing themes. On the one hand, matzah shows chedus, we have to recline. On the other hand, it's called lechemoni, poor man's bread. So, and yet matzah, you know, like in the dichotomy, it has both things. So that's why I tell you, you have to recline. But, I can argue for keret, terei kosei basroi bo yeseba. The second two cups should be reclining, not the first cup. Why? He shaita the kav chedus, because you're already not free. Now that you're out of Mitzrayim, you're free. Terei kosei kamoi loy bo yeseba. First two cups, you shouldn't have to have seba. The katya avodim ayinu. You started off, and you first drank the first cup, and then avodim ayinu were still slaves during the first two cups. Now that we have two different ways of learning, we don't know which is the correct way. You have to recline for all of them. Now, big hakira, machlekir vel brisker, and the Rebbe and the Sichus. How do we understand the mitzvah seba? Is the mitzvah seba part of? It's not a separate mitzvah. It's part of every one of these mitzvahs, or is it a totally separate mitzvah? Interesting sichah to learn, and he explains it very nicely. But we spoke about it a few days ago as well. Another thing is that big machlek is whether by kodech you have to recline, because kodech has matzah, but also has morah. So there's machlek to show you whether you have to recline. Some are showing you don't recline because of the morah. Some, and kodech, it sounds like that they hold by morah, not that you don't have to recline. By morah, you're not supposed to recline. Because if you don't have to, then what's wrong with reclining? You hold pachas for the matzah, you should recline. So it seems that they understood by morah, it's wrong to recline because it's the opposite theme. So by Kodesh, he shouldn't recline. Others say by Kodesh, do recline, either because, some of the Shainas say, because that's how he ate his matzah. He was Kodesh, put the matzah motor, so therefore, or he was in the Subin, so we have to do the same thing. Or because the current Pesach was there as well. Big Machlek is showing you what happens if you don't, if you forget to do a Seber, do you have to repeat or not? So some say you don't, many say you do, the halach is you do, but there's a problem. We don't do it after the third and the fourth. The Rosh has an interesting chakira. If you look at the Rosh, or section Machlekes, if you look at the Machlekes, you can see that it seems that this chakira of the Rebbe And a little brisket is exactly the point of the argument. One argument is you cannot drink any, you cannot make, if you forgot the third and fourth cup, you cannot make it up because it looks like you're drinking a fifth cup. Or the other side, they say, since the fourth cup or the third cup, you didn't drink Maseba, you never drank a third cup or a fourth cup. Therefore, there's no adding to the cups. So it seemed clearly from there that it's based on this Chakira. When you don't eat, let's say, drink the wine Maseba, what's the problem? The problem is the wine you were Yotze, you just weren't Yotze in the midst of a Seba. In other words, a Seba is a separate mitzvah altogether. Or no, you weren't Yotze in the midst of wine either because you're supposed to have a Seba. A Seba is part of the mitzvah of drinking the Arba Kaisers. You didn't have a Seba. You didn't, therefore, you're not Yotze drinking the wine at all. If the vort is a din in drinking the wine, and if you didn't sit beseb in drinking the wine at all, there's no adding to the cups because you never drank a third cup. But if you learn it's a separate mitzvah together, you did drink a third cup. The problem is the haseba, by drinking, by making it up, you're adding to the cups. So the halacha is the third and fourth, we do not drink any, you don't drink again because you're adding to the cups. Between the second and third, you definitely do drink again because you're not adding, you forgot to the haseba. Between the first and second, even though technically the Rosh says and other Rishonim say you could drink again, it's not like you're adding. But the Shulchan Aruch says, because these days we don't drink really between the first and second cup at all, you have to have in mind by Kiddush, when you make Kiddush, that if I forget to sit Beseba, I will drink another cup, and therefore you don't have to make another Bayer Perek Gafen. It's the Bayer Perek Gafen that makes it look like additional cups. The issue with that I always had was, if you remember during Kiddush to make that Tanai, why wouldn't you remember a minute later to actually recline as well? I mean, what are the chances that you would forget? But anyway, there's a machlek is whether the rest of the other thing that Rambam writes and you should sit behaseba and all the things that you do kol ma'isa laila, you should sit behaseba. So therefore, by the Shulchan Aruch as well, you should sit behaseba. And the Shulchan Aruch actually says that is a meshubach, and others say you don't have to. Machlek is a shining whether you have to sit behaseba afakayman. The Rambam actually omits sitting by the seder afakayman, which I don't really understand because the Rambam really said kol ma'isa laila zeh, you should behaseba. I mean, why doesn't that cover afakayman? Not sure. But the many great Achareinim, the early Achareinim, will learn that I'm holding on to sit Beseba of a Kayman. Others hold you do, and the halach is we do. Karpas is a big machlek in Menhagim.
You haven't experienced coming into a place, putting a key down, and 2 minutes later say, where did I put those keys down?
Moshe, that started by me 10 years ago.
Okay, so then you can make the Ketnayin the Kiddush and then forget afterwards 2 minutes later.
Okay, fair enough. By karpas is a machlekes menhagim, whether we recline by karpas or not. What's the main member of the karpas? Is it chedus or avdus? Anyway, let's continue. It says but further, prakdin leishmei seba. Somebody is a prakdin. That's not called a seba. Most of Shoyin learn prakdin means lying on your back. It's an act of haughtiness. And the Rambam actually learns even if you're lying on your face, which is a bit hard to picture. If you're lying on your stomach, how do you drink? How do you do anything? But anyway. A seba, you mean loishme a seba, reclining on the right side is not called a seba for practical reason, because most people are righties. How do you eat while you're sitting by a seba? And furthermore, elishme yakim kamer levoishet. We're worried about that the trachea is closer to where you are. No, if you're leaning on the right side, your trachea is above your esophagus, and there's a lid on your trachea. But if it's on top and you're eating, the food might enter your windpipe rather than your food pipe. The yovid is a kamer. That's how we learn, and therefore, according to that, there's no difference. You're right or you're lefty. You always have to lean on your left side. But Rashi has another pshat. Rashi learns that these words, Shema Yakni Kon Levoishet, is explaining the praktin, not explaining the yamin. According to Rashi, that if the only reason why you should recline your left side is because you're a righty. So according to Rashi, if you're a lefty, you should recline on your right side. Then the Gemara continues, Isha Eitzel Baila Leiboyi Haseba. A woman by her husband doesn't require a seba. Most of Shoyim are not great at these few words. But then it says, V'im isha, chashuvi yitzich a seba. If she's a chashuv woman, she doesn't need a seba. So, l'cheira, what he's talking mean? I mean, his mom has his own pshat there. But generally speaking, because the woman has to stand up and down and serve and everything else, it's very uncomfortable then to, when you recline, it's not like you're sitting on a chair, you're popping up and sit down. Reclining is, it takes time to position yourself. And if you have to continually go up and down, it is very uncomfortable. But if she's Isha Chashuba, so she's not doing all the serving, they have waiters and butlers and all that who are doing all the work, so then she sits Beseba. So the Mordechai brings some traces, very interesting, and the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch, and just picture this. This is 800 years ago, you know, the Mordechai, or Ramah Shulchan Aruch, 450 years ago, says, V'achshav kol hanoshim shalonu chashubasein. In Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, that all of our wives today are Chashuba women, and you have to treat them with respect. which is a fascinating thing. You just picture that in the context of the times, of the era. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and just think that in Shulchan Aruch 450 years ago, Paskas Halacha L'Maisa, that all of our women are Chashuvasim. Pretty amazing thing. Okay, so therefore, technically they should sit reclined. And why don't they? Because the Rav Yoh says that Bizman HaZeh, he said Bizman HaZeh you don't have to recline. In fact, the Machlek is what the Rav Yoh is saying. Is he saying Bizman HaZeh you don't have to, or Bizman HaZeh you're not allowed to? Because he says, Amol, you know, they used to, like in the Middle East, they used to recline and they used to eat. He says, Bizman HaZeh, he's talking about now in Europe, 1,000 years ago, 900 years ago, 800 years ago, nobody reclined. They sat on stools, on benches. It wasn't that style. So therefore, reclining isn't, if you're not used to recline, in fact, it's uncomfortable. And it's not chedus at all. And what are you trying to remember? So he said, Bizman HaZeh, you don't. We do it because of tradition. And therefore, when it comes to Nashi Chashuvas, there's no point in them reclining. And why is there no point in reclining? Because Bizman HaZeh, no one has to recline. The only reason why we're doing it is to remember, because all of our ancestors used to recline. Since by women, the majority did not recline. So why are they reclining? Tradition there isn't. Today there isn't. And according to some, if you don't have to recline, you shouldn't recline. Because Zaman HaZeh, therefore they don't. Iboyilu, the question is, Talmud is Rebbe. What about a Talmud by his Rebbe? Should he recline or not? Out of respect for his Rebbe, maybe he shouldn't recline. It's an act of haughtiness. Toshma, come in here. Omar Abaye said, Kevin, when we were in the house of a teacher, Rabbi, Zanigina Birkiradodi, we're all poor, so we used to recline on the thigh of the next person. That's what we learn now, that a poor person, you know, can't afford a cushion or anything else, should lean on the next person to recline. Not on your own leg, because that looks like you're a warrior. When Rabbi 22 years was, Rabbi was 18 years old when he became a yeshiva, and he passed away at the age of 40, because he's a descendant from Eli, in the curse of Eli. So Rabbi Yosef then took over, and Rabbi Yosef, when they went to him now, Rabbi Yosef, to sit by the Seder, Amalon, he told us, you don't have to, Moira Rabbah ke Moira Shemayim, that the Moira of your Rebbe should be like Moira Shemayim, and therefore you shouldn't be sitting in front of me with the Seder. Again, the Lashon always is Loit Tzarech, doesn't say you shouldn't, because the way it comes out in some of the Shonim, he's not allowed to, because in a way it's Heder HaKovet, but here it just says Loit Tzarech, you don't have to. Meisav has a question. Says, "But I see Mahakol the Meisav for the Talmud. Says, 'Abba, a person should always be Meisav, even the Talmud by his Rebbe.' Says Gemara, that's not talking about a Rebbe, proper Rebbe. Kitani, he's talking about Beshulya Denagre. We're talking about there, you know, an apprentice to a carpenter or something. That's not the kind of Rebbe we're talking about. The fact that we don't answer that that a Rebbe that there's a difference between your favorite Rebbe and a Rabbi she'ena muvik proves that even a Rabbi, if it's not moving, if somebody taught you something, you don't sit. You don't have to sit Beseb in front of him. Taisa asks." What about if your father is your teacher? You also don't have to, because you don't have to sit beside because your father is your teacher, what's Chilukim and others. However, then Teja says, Min Hastam, every father is a Rebbe of his child, teaches them Teja somewhere, like we'll have more condition. And therefore, you allow to sit beside because the father is always Mechel. Says what about a butler who has to be, you know, bottled to his master when he sits down to eat? Does he sit beseb or not? Says the Gemara, Toshma Kamei Rabbi Shu Belevi Hashamish Ochel Kazais Matzah Hashamish Oedek Kazais Matzah Kishu Meishim Reclines Yotze Is Yotze. It says Hashamish when he eats the Kazais Matzah, Meisiv Is Yotze. Meisiv in sounds like only if he's Meisiv is Yotze. But if he wasn't reclining, he's not Yotze. Shmam and a boy Yaseba. So this is the mocker that we learn out, that if you don't sit Behaseba when you should, you're actually not Yotze. The question is, what weren't you Yotze? You weren't Yotze the mitzvah of Haseba because it's a separate mitzvah, or you weren't Yotze whatever the mitzvah is that Haseba is doing, like wine, you weren't Yotze that case. Matzah, you weren't Yotze that matzah. Talking about Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Noshim chayyavos ba'arba kais alala, woman's chayyavos for kais. She's chayv these four cups on Pesach. Now we know that a woman is chayv in matzah on Pesach meha Torah. We already had it before in Pesachim, and that is anyone who's included in the Isur, and we'll have a Kedushin, anyone who's included in the Isur of Lesechel Olav Chametz is included in the mitzvah that you have to eat matzah. And since women are included in the Isur, because it's written in the same Pesach, by the juxtaposition of these two phrases, we learn now that anyone's included in the lav is included in the seis, a woman are chayiv in the mitzvah of matzah. What about the rest of the mitzvahs of the night? So he says that women are chayiv in the four cups. So there's a big machleg is a shining where the women are chayiv in the mitzvah haggadah. Because if all he talks about is the four cups, and matzah we know yechayiv. Could we have that exer shavu about haggadah? Because the chinuch paskins that women are chayiv haggadah matayda. Alter Rebbe Shmuel Paskins, and the Mitzvah Chinuch asks, and the Chinuch learns as well as the Rabbanon, because af hein hoya ba'isa hanes is the reason why they're chayiv in Haggadah. Others say women are not even chayiv at all in Haggadah. So, because the mitzvah says she's mangramba, and this is not included in the af hein hoya ba'isa hanes. What do you mean af hein hoya ba'isa hanes? Pick my chalik is Rashi and Rashbam versus Tosfos. Rashi and Rashbam learn af hein hoya ba'isa hanes means not that they were second fiddle or that they were, you know, also threatened. Af hein hoya ba'isa hanes, says Rashi and Rashbam, they made the miracle happen. And as Tosfos spells it out better than Rashbam, he says that when it comes to Mitzrayim, b'schus noshim tzirkonius, that's the Rashi and Rashbam bring as well, b'schus noshim tzirkonius, even when Lethmor Seita says, why do you believe Mitzrayim? Because of these women, righteous women. Megillah Epurim, obviously it's Esther. Chanukah, Rashi and Rashbam just say Chanukah, Ne Chanukah, don't say what it is, but Tosfos brings, because Yehudis, in the story of Chanukah, because you know there's a big machlekes today in all these modern thinkers whether Yehudis ever happened, whether it's a Greek myth, and there's no reading. But Tosfos clearly says right here that, so if people bring that up to you, you'll know that Tosfos right here. Tosfos says in the second Tosfos, top of the page, that that Chanukah was through the story of Yehudis, and that's part of the story of Chanukah, not something that happened in Greek mythology or happened, you know, hundreds of years later, as different historians want to argue. Anyway. So there's a big difference. Tosfos learns that af hein hoya ba'isa hanes only means that they were included in the sakana, not that they were actually involved in the nes. Okay, and the reason why the Rishonim hold that a woman is not chayiv in Haggadah, af hein hoya ba'isa hanes, is because Tosfos here versus Tosfos in Megillah, big machlekes in here in Megillah, Tosfos here says that any mitzvah of the Torah we will not apply the rule of af hein hoya ba'isa hanes. Af hein hoya ba'isa hanes only the mitzvahs of the Rabban, Chanukah, Purim, all the four cases over here. But Haggadah is a mitzvah in the Torah. And the mitzvah in the Torah, the Chacham, the Torah says you're potter, the Chacham cannot come along and say, af hein hoya ba'isa hanes, yichayiv. If the Torah says you're potter, they are potter. Therefore, you cannot do that. So women, according to that, this case is here, the Rishonim hold, don't have a mitzvah at all. Not my Torah and not my Rabban. But Tosfos in Megillah holds, and my colleagues at Tosfos and Abayis and Tevilim, hold that the mitzvah that I say as well, af hein hoya ba'isa hanes would make them chayiv, but only chayiv in Rabbanu, so there would be chayiv in Haggadah as well. Okay. What is interesting here is a big question everybody asks. Rashi, if you want to go back one second, we'll just learn Rashi inside. Interesting Rashi. In the very beginning of the Masechet, it says, why do we drink four cups of wine? Okay, actually, we should go to, okay. He said, because it says, but Tzeisi Tzalti Galti Lakachti. The Rambam says the same thing, but they just argue about the order of the Psukim. You know, but in the Rebbe Sikh and so on. But Rashi here says, Arba Koisa, says Rashi, and Kuf Chesemral, the last Rashi, top of the page, Shloisha, three cups, Keneged Gimel Koises, Shenemru B'Posik, there, by the dream, by Yosef, it says three times the word kois, and then the kois parted the yodi, it says three times, the gamer, with a V. Now there's no fourth kois there. The fourth kois is when Yosef is repeating. So they don't count it. Birchas HaMazon. The fourth one is the standard benching one that you have a cup. Everybody wants to know why Rashi contradicts himself. Before he said, because it tastes itself to Galti, and here he says, because of three cups. Maybe, in Drush at least. Before we're talking about generally, why do we drink four cups? So he says, because it tastes itself to Galti. Here he's talking about women. Women, by them, by they did not go through the same experience of Mitzrayim like the men did, because men were avodin and everything else. This machlek is where the women, even though the Medrash says in the Gemara, avodis noshim la noshim, avodis noshim la noshim, many hold that women were not slaves at all, and therefore it says kolabasta chayun. You see from the psukim there that only kolabena yiliyadzehu, that only the males suffered, not the women. So for them, the four cups, what says it's all together, is not as meaningful as for the men. So what is Taka the reason why women drink? Because why was the Sarah Mashkim saved and the Sarah Eifin wasn't? Because the Sarah, as it says in the Sfarim, the Sarah Mashkim in his dream, all he thought about was party all the time. He was thinking of party, his whole life was around party. And that's the story of the women. Why Taka weren't the women Avodim? Because even while they were Mitzrayim, they believed in Gula. They're the ones who created the families, B'schus Noshim Tzirkonius. They're the ones who never worshipped the Egel HaZov. They're the ones who didn't follow the Meraglim because they were strong believers. So therefore, you're saying for them, the Arba Koses is to show that they were just like by Sarah Mashkim. Because even when he was in jail, he all he thought about was Paray and freedom and so on. And the same thing with the women. All they thought about was that they're going to go to Yisrael and Gula. And that's why they drink four cups. So Rashi's talking about women versus previous talking about the men. Anyway, I'll be Drusha at least. Let's go back to the Gemara. There's a lot more to talk about here, but we're running out of time. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel, Arba Koses, all these four cups, and from Kuf Chesu, Beis Tal Pei, Yitzodah, Shehei, Ben Kedem, Koses Yafa. You need to have enough wine to pour a good cup. We're going to learn later, right now, it's a bit cryptic, but we're going to learn later, in those days, the grapes were much had much more sugar in it than today, so the sugar turns into alcohol. So their grapes, for whatever reason, changed over time, and their grapes are very strong. And in fact, you can't drink it raw in its pure state. You have to dilute it with water. We have different views whether you do a ratio of 2-1 or Rava says 3-1. So we're talking about 3-1. So if we need a levius of wine, we're going to conclude in the Gemara, it means you have to put a quarter of a levius of this strong wine. It's called yayin chai, and then you add the three bits of water. So but we'll see what I mean. Shasan chai yotze. If you drank it in its raw form, you are yotze. We'll see the Gemara explain everything later. Shasan bevasach, you drank it in one go. What does that mean? Yotze. We'll soon see. Hishke mehen lebonav ulebnei beisa. If you gave to your children to drink from this wine, yotze ya yotze. Now the Gemara explain each one. Shasan chai yotze. Well, if you drank it in the raw form, you yotze. Amar Rava, the yayin yotze, you yotze. Wine, but the cheder layotze, you have not been yotze. If you drink this wine, you're yotze, but you're not yotze. You didn't dilute it with water or anything else. And the cheder must be talking about you drank a full levius of it. If you drank a quarter of a levius of this wine, nothing to talk about. You didn't drink the shit. So you drank a full levius, but of this raw wine, which is very strong. So you're yotze wine, but you're not yotze the mitzvah of cheder. What do you mean not yotze mitzvah cheder? So either it's a part of the mitzvah of wine, and the whole idea is to feel cheder, and this is not feeling cheder. And the idea is, so what do you mean dayan yotze? You yotze the mitzvah of samachta, you yotze the mitzvah of simchas yomtov, because part of simchas yomtov, we're going to learn tomorrow, is you have to drink wine as well, ein simcha l'basav yayin, and therefore we're telling you that part you yotze simcha, but you're not yotze the arba kaisis or cheder. And as a shrine, they don't say not yotze arba kaisis, they are yotze arba kaisis, like his mom says, but not 100% properly. Shosu bevasach, he drank in one go. Rabba, he drank it in one go. What exactly means bevasach? So there's a machlek, is a shrine here as well. Whether it means that you drank it all in one cup, or you drank it all in one cup, or you drank it one in succession, one cup after another cup. Rashi seems to learn that you put the four cups worth of wine into one cup. And there was a cup of four levius, and you drank it in one go. All the Rishonim say, you don't need a Gemara for that to tell you it's only one cup. Nowhere does it say that if you have more than levius, it counts as a second cup. They learn it's talking about you had four successive cups, but one after another, instead of breaking it up, Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, and Halal, you just drank it one after another. So Rav says... See, Rav says, you're not yotze four cups, it's only considered one cup. If you gave to drink from the wine to your children from your becher, your yotze, it says you are yotze. So we say that, Omar Rav Nachum Bayichar Nachum Yitzchak says, you yourself have to drink the majority of the cup. Okay. Big machlekes that are showing him here whether the kids have to drink four cups or just the Baal HaGadah has to drink four cups. The men and women have to drink four cups. But like I said before, Afin Hoibay Sanes, what about everybody else on the table? The fact that it says that if you gave some of the wine to your children, Yotze, you are Yotze, doesn't say you and they are Yotze. Seems clearly that the kids don't have to drink, but you just sort of decide to give them a little bit of wine. And as long as you drink Reiv Kais, then you are Yotze. So if you look at it, the Tosfos is right on the Mishnah. The Tosfos has a whole discussion back and forth. Maybe it's like Kiddush and the Shabbos, only you have to and the rest don't have to. They can even listen and you just give them a drop. Or Noraya, maybe it's talking about everyone has their own cup, but you're giving them a little bit of your own wine as well into their cups. And the conclusion is at the bottom of the page, as we'll see in the Braisa, that everyone should drink. The Machlekes then is whether even kids who are not Lo'igia Lechinuch, as we'll see in the Gemara of Yehudin Tanakama. Another thing it says, you have to drink Roiv Kais. The Ramban paskins, therefore, based on this, as you know, is a big machlekes. There are four tiers. The Ramban holds that no matter what size the becher is, you have chatchila, you have to drink the entire becher, each one of the four cups. That really means one gulp, maximum two. Then he says, if you don't drink the full becher, at least roiv kois, not roiv revius, roiv kois. If you have, that's why it says clearly in all the paskins that you have to use small bechers for your four cups, not to use a normal size becher, because you have to drink the entire kais or roiv kais. And according to Ramban, if it's not the roiv kais, you're not yotze. Others say that no, it's talking about a becher that's exactly a revius, a little bit more than a revius. So roiv kais means roiv revius. So they hold ideally you should drink a revius. If not a revius, then the roi revius, even though the bechamai itself might hold in it much more. So there are four tiers. You know, the chatchila, and then the bottom one is b'di'evit. So Meisha has a question. These four cups are shei ben kidei revius. These four cups have to be contained in revius. Echad chai, whether it's rov, echad mazi, whether it's diluted, echad chodesh, whether it's new, the echad yoshan, and whether it's old. Rashbam has two pshatim in the way whether it's old, and the way Tesis limp shot, this is how Tesis limp shot in the Rashbam, that Rashbam has one pshat, that old wine is also no good, because it gets weaker over time, and the other pshat is no, that new wine is no good, but old wine is good, and he's saying it, whether it's new wine, which is, you know, doesn't have much an alcoholic content, or whether it's old wine, that it does have, you know, that is very good. And I was speaking to an expert yesterday on wines, a wine manufacturer, and he was telling me that wine, once it reaches a certain peak, let's say the age for 10 years, and if you continue leaving it out, it doesn't get any better. In fact, over time, it loses its strength and gets weaker and gets worse. Rabbi Yehuda says, so did Jay, but Tom, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, wine has to taste and marian, has to look, taste like wine and look like wine. Okay, we'll get back to that soon. Tell me, however, Kidei Devi, that has to be a Devi, is Vatomna Kais Yafa. We're not sure when he said Kais Yafa, a good cup, what exactly Shmuel meant a good cup. You have to have enough wine for a good cup. Here it says a revius. Someone answers, idi chachihuru, that both of them are really the same shear, a revius and a good cup. And mzigas kais yafa is the same thing. My kizigas kais yafa. So what kind of expression is mzigas kais yafa, the dilution for a good cup, the karma, the cholchad v'chad, the havel kula revius. In other words, they used to dilute it. So he's saying it, make sure you dilute it properly, a ratio of 3-1. The Abiyuda says, Torah by tam umara, it has to taste and look like wine. Omar, what do you mean? My time, Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be red. The Chassid says, "Al teida yayin, do not be tempted by wine, ki yis adan, because it's red." So we see from here that red wine is more chashuv, and therefore it says on normal Shabbos, you know, if you have red wine and white wine, they're the same, you know, quality. You can make it on either one. But on Pesach, even if they're equal quality, you should make it on red, unless the red is inferior quality, then you make it on wine. But otherwise, you should always make it on wine. And the Chesed Shulchan Paschas and Nichol Shabbos, that our white wine today has the same halacha as red wine, because white wine used to be inferior grapes. Today's white grapes, and this, he's talking about 75, 80 years ago. Today's white grapes are good, and therefore it's the same quality. However, when it comes to Pesach, the redness is not just for that. The redness, as the Taz explains, is also because of either the makadam, which is red, or because, to remind us, Pada used to shech the kids nebuch. I'm not sure why we have to remember Pada shechting the kids when we're drinking the wine. The whole idea of wine is chedus. We just said before, we called it chedus, and you have a choice to remember makas dam, like some want to say. Well, the Taz says to remember the dam that Pada was shechted when he was in Saras. I never understood why. Why do you have to remember the child's wine, the red? Anyway, but then the Taz makes a comment that in his time there was a little Saddam, and therefore you're going to use an excuse to accuse us of different things. You shouldn't use red. Interesting, Alter Rebbe quotes that word for word, but Achshav. I guess in Alter Rebbe's times, there also was blood libels still going on. And he said, you don't have to do red. So many people do, they have white wine and they mix some red in as well for the color. Tashis brings here the very last line of the page, Pidush Rashbam, the last six words, because this opened up a Pandora's box. Pidush Rashbam Hosam, Rashbam says in Bobasa, the Maisilo Legriyusa. He holds that red wine is actually worse. And the Pasuk is saying, don't be tempted by wine because it's red, because red is not good wine. Changes everything around. You should definitely use white wine because it's better quality. And so on and so forth. Anyway, interesting debate and discussion. Let's go right to. Everyone's chayim these four cups echad anoshi men the echad anoshi women and the echad tenoikas even young kids. So the Tanakama holds even young kids. Machleik is a shenim when the Tanakama says tenoikas, does he mean kids under bar mitzvah or he means kids under the age of chinuch? Because Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says v'chimate elish tenoikas v'yai. What point is they giving wine to kids? They don't appreciate wine. They just fall asleep. So is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on kids under the age of chinuch, but everyone agrees over chinuch they have to have wine? Or is Rabbi Yehuda arguing even kids, and Tanakama holds that even kids under chinuch and halacha like Tanakama, so you should give to everybody? Or is Rabbi Yehuda arguing about kids under bar mitzvah, even 10 years old? What's the point of giving too much wine? And that's what Tanakama says you do, and yeah, halacha is like it, but under six, you don't. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what should you do? to keep them engaged. Give them toasted wheat, which is not from the chodesh but from the old. And nuts. Others say klois is not even wheat; they're talking about some kind of nuts. They shouldn't fall asleep; they should be engaged. Ask all kinds of questions. He used to give these nuts to the kids. In order, they shouldn't fall asleep. And ask the question. Everybody asks, "What's the chiddush?" Rabbi Kiva followed the law. The law says that you have to do this. Of course, he would have done it. So I once heard a Rav say, the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara told us in the Dorim, became very, very wealthy. Not only the Rusha from Kalba Savu, but on his own right, he became very, very wealthy. So he could have given them, you know, iPods and iPads and Chreisos, all these kind of games. And instead, he gave them the same games that everybody else had, whether rich or poor. Didn't spoil his kids. Tanya Vilun. Rabbi says, Chaitfin Matzes Belei Leib Sochim. You're supposed to be Chaitif, I'll tell you what that means. Matzes Pesach by night, Bishvil Tanaki Lishan, engage the kid, they shouldn't fall asleep. Big Machaik is a shining what it means, Chaitif Matzes. I mean, actually, the Shabbat so brings a three. Whether Chaitif Matzes, Rashi learns that Chaitif Matzes means that you just pick a, you grab the matzah out of the Kairo and you lift it so that you can see it, so the kid should ask why you're doing it. Or Chaitfin Matzes, Rashi says, is you hurry with the Seder. And that's what Shulchan Aruch says, the first sifin, Pesach, by the Seder, you got to come home. You start the meal straight away. But it really doesn't mean start the meal, it means start the Haggadah. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah has a whole Chakira there in Shaar HaTzion. Whether the main thing is the kids should be up for Manishtana, or they should be up for the eating the matzah and so on, so that they should, the trigger of the questions of the Manishtana. Is that what Chaitfin Matzah is? Or Chaitfin Matzah means that you just lift the Kaira. But the Rashbam has his own shot. Chaitim matzah means you grab the matzah out of your kids' hands, so they shouldn't eat too much, because they eat too much, they just fall sleepy, and they won't sit by the Seder. So chaitim matzah, you grab it out of the kids' hands. But the Rambam learns, chaitim matzah, says the Rambam, it means you're grabbing from each other. And that's the mocker that where the kids steal the afikamen and they hide it. It's from the Rambam's trap in chaitim matzah. And he never said this, let's stop learning. The adults would stop learning. And Erev Yom Kippurim. The Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, Bishvil Tanoikas Kadesh Lo Yishanu. Erev Pesach was so the kids should not fall asleep at the Seder. So the Rashbam says, what do you mean? They used to go home, put their kids asleep during the day so that night they were up. And the other Shem asked the Rashbam, if that's Pshat, then why should the father go home? Let the kid go home alone and he can stay in shul. Obviously, Tosfos who asked that question never saw that kids during the day don't want to go to sleep. You need the father to scream at them and punish them so they should go to sleep. Okay, so therefore others say it means simply you go home so you can start to say this straight away. The fact that it says that you only leave the Beis HaMedrash, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, it says if you're in Beis HaMedrash, you should leave at night so you can start straight away. It clearly doesn't say make sure you get home when it gets dark, it says make sure you leave the Beis HaMedrash when it gets dark. So it really means is you have to start preparing straight away for the Seder. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to start the Seder the minute you go home. The Erev Yom Kippurim, Erev Yom Kippur, Kadeshi Yachilus B'neim, so they can feed the kids Erev Yom Kippur, so they can fast the Tainah Shoyis and all that. Okay, we will stop.